Blog Talk Radio.
I'm believing that God is going to work a miracle in your life by the end of this song. No matter what situation you find yourself in right now, just know that all you have to do is leave it at the feet of Jesus. My brother and my sister, listen.
All of your problems, all of your pain, lay it down, lay it down. All of your heartache, all guilt and shame, lay it down, lay it down.
The Bible says,
cast your cares upon him, he'll hear your call. Lay it down. Lay it down.
Promise.
Promise he would never leave, not forsake your friends indeed. Lay it down. Lay it down.
War cry. Better by now, but just in case you just got into your car, let us say it again. All of your problems, all of your pain,
lay it down.
Elder Troy Sneed, and now we're going to
hear one more song by He's Working It Out For You. I think they are very timely. By Shirley Caesar. Let this song minister to your hearts. God bless you.
Though the pressures of life seems to weigh you down, and you don't know which way to turn, God is concerned and He's working it out for you. The child that's on cocaine, through prayer he can change. That marriage that's on the verge of breaking up. Although sometimes you have alone,
praise the Lord, everybody. This is a blessing. Jesus is working it out for us. That song is by Shirley Caesar. He's working it out for you. And we thank y'all for coming on today. This is a blessed day that the Lord has made. And now, good evening, everyone. I greet each of you, excuse me, in the matchless, awesome, magnificent name of Jesus. We sincerely appreciate your sweet fellowship and tremendous support. Thank you for tuning and listening to A Time of Reflection. Our founder and host, Evangelist Adrian Bernard, is here to bring the word today, and I'm your co-host, Sister Ruby Lowry. A Time of Reflection, that's what we're listening to today. A Time of Reflection is a radio broadcast that will encourage, enrich, enhance, enlighten, and empower listeners to trust God in every area of their lives, naturally and spiritually, and to pursue their God-giving destiny without apology. We are mandated to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as we stand firmly upon the foundational scripture and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And you can find that in King James Version, Ephesians chapter 2:20. Join us daily, Monday through Friday, at 1 p.m. Pacific time, 3 p.m. Eastern time, 4 p.m. Eastern time, Saturday, They Overcame with host Minister Billy Burns at 5 a.m. Pacific time. And early morning Sunday prayer is at 7 a.m. Pacific time. Tune in expecting to hear and receive fresh oil from God Almighty. We appreciate your support. Our call-in number is area code 858-683-1334. Again, our call-in number is 858-683-1334. Please email us at newdestinyministries54@gmail.com or mail us any prayer requests or praise report you would like us to share on the broadcast to P.O. Box 5702, Stockton, California, 95205. Again, that's P.O. Box 5702, Stockton, California, 95205. Also visit us on the web. Also visit us on Facebook and like our ministry page. And our website is www.newdestinyministries.com. Don't sign off because God has a rhema word just for you. Praise the Lord. And now I'm going to go in and read from the Holy Bible out of King James Version, Psalms 136, and I think I'm going to read down 1 to verse 9. And verse 1 say, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endure forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endure forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endure forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endure forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endure forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endure forever. To him that made great light, for his mercy endure forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endure forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endure forever." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. For his mercy endure forever. We're going to turn it back over to Evangelist Bernard.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. We just thank God for you. We don't see any of our listeners.
This one's 6 minutes.
Yes. We had one, but they dropped off. But nevertheless, we're on here to do the will of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I can hear you.
Seems like we're in a...
You know what? You're not on.
Hearing an echo.
You're not on.
So let me... Oh, okay.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord again. Truly, we thank God for another opportunity.
Okay. I'm going to end it because, okay. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Okay, technical difficulties. Okay, yeah, I just cut it off. Amen. Praise the Lord, everyone. We just once again greet you in the matchless, awesome name of Jesus. We thank God for another opportunity to be back on the airwaves again to lift up the name of Jesus. Truly, we thank God for allowing us the privilege to still yet be in the land of the living. We thank God because he's merciful. We thank him because he's loving. We thank him because he's kind. And certainly his mercies were renewed this morning on each and every one of us. Amen. So therefore, we give God the praise for what he's doing. Our destiny focus last week, and we're carrying on over into this week, going through with purpose. We're still talking about going through. The Lord isn't through. And when the Lord isn't through, that means we're not through because we're governed and we're led by the Spirit of God. I know this is Monday in the world. They deem Monday sometimes as Blue Monday. Hey, but there's no Blue Monday if you're in Christ Jesus. Because if you're in Christ Jesus, this is a sunny Monday. This is a glorious day, and that's why we can profess, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad there in it. Amen. My cousin, I was talking with him, and I was confirming some things that that was spoken into my spirit this morning by Sister Ruby. And as he began to speak and confirm those things that she had already spoken, amen, I was going a certain way that I had studied for today because we did not have a speaker. But we do want to let you know before we go on, we have a beautiful young lady that is pastoring along with her husband. She's an evangelist. She's a young lady I knew as a teenager. She's married with three children, and she's evangelizing and ministering and pastoring in Atlanta, Georgia. She will be with us on tomorrow. Her name is Evangelist Tajana Logan. Logan, so you don't want to miss that tomorrow. Please invite a friend to come on the line and hear this powerful young woman of God. I think she's about 34 years old. I mean, you know, when people, and I'm reminded, when people count you out, ha, hallelujah, they don't know what God has imparted to you. They don't know the conversations that you have with the Lord. They don't know your destiny. Let me say that. They don't know your destiny, and that's why this ministry is deemed a new destiny, because we all have a new destiny in Christ Jesus. We just need to know that God is in control. Step back sometime and let him take over. And on Wednesday, we have Bishop Jesse E. Grant out of Evanston, Illinois. He'll be speaking for us. And on Thursday, we have Minister Michael Lewis of Jesus on High Productions here in Stockton, California. And, of course, our Provoke Fridays will be with none other than our Pastor Edward Hamilton of Provoke to Purpose Ministry. So we got a full lineup this week, and I just believe that God is going to continue to speak by his power. Amen, amen. So we're just thankful to each and every one of you all. We pray you had a beautiful and blessed weekend. And we're going to do a little study of the word today, and I just believe that the Lord, as I begin to speak, I'll be strengthened as I speak, and I also pray that God will strengthen you also as the word come forth on today. Amen, amen. So we want to invite your attention, but before we do that, we want to open up with the word of prayer. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we come boldly before your throne today. We come boldly before your throne today, God, and we just want to tell you thank you, God. Thank you for giving us another opportunity. Thank you for giving us another opportunity to be in the land of the living. Thank you for a voice, God, to be able to open up our mouth and speak. Thank you for the ears to hear today. Thank you, Lord God, for opening up our understanding. Let us speak today, Lord God, under the unction of the Holy Ghost. Let us speak with clarity. Let us speak with conviction. Let us speak with thankfulness in our heart, God. Oh, God, for we know you are the all-wise God. You are God that don't make no mistakes. You're the God that knows the end at the beginning. And we just give you praise for it. Thank you for this nation as a whole. Thank you for all of our listeners that may be tuning in at a later time. And even those that will go back in the archives and listen to this message. Hallelujah. Let it be said. Let something be said to encourage them. Let something be said to uplift their spirit and give them hope, God, where they'll know that there's nothing impossible to you, where they'll know that whatever they're going through, there is a purpose. Let them go through with purpose. Let them go through without murmuring and complaining, as Aaron and Sister Ruby have stated on this morning. Oh, God, we need you now more than ever. Ah, God, and we just like to tell you thank you again. We thank you for being our Lord and Savior. We thank you, Lord God, for being everything that we need you to be. We thank you, Lord God, for when we're cast down in our spirit, just a word from you, just a word from you will uplift us. Just a word from you will shift us into another dimension, God, another dimension of worship, another dimension of praise, another dimension of your glory being manifested in the earth. Oh, we bless you today, God. We give you glory, Jesus. We know you're going to do something great for us. Oh, God, but we're asking you to give us patience. Patience to wait on your word. Patience to wait on your glory. Patience to wait on all the manifestations and all the promises that you've made. Hallelujah, for we know your word is forever settled in heaven. Hey, glory, we bless you today, God. As we continue to go forth in this word, open up our understanding, God. Oh, where we can hear and we can understand what you're trying to say to us. Well, we can understand that no matter what we're going through, that you're going to bring us out. You're going to bring us out and we'll be victorious in Christ Jesus. We already have the victory, but we know that the battle has already been won. We know it's won, God, because you can't lose. Hallelujah. You're a God that can't lose. You're a God that can't fail. And we give you glory for it today. We give you glory for it today, God. We give you glory for that today, God. Oh, Jesus, help us. Help us to do better. Help us to do better in our homes. Help us to do better on our jobs. Help us to do better in our churches. Help us to do better in our ministries that you have given us. Oh, God, continue to help us to look on the things of others more highly than ourselves. Help us to come out of our comfort zone, God, and extend a helping hand to those that are in need. Extend a word of encouragement to those that may be feeling like all hope is gone. Help us to extend extend a hand of mercy to those that need mercy. Hallelujah. For you said you'll have mercy on whom you will. Hey, God, and you're a God that reign on the just as well as the unjust. You're a God that don't have no respect of persons. Hallelujah. You reign on the just as well as the unjust. You go to and fro. Hallelujah. Blessing whom you will. Whom you will, God. Oh, God, and no man can question your blessings. No man can question your authority. No man can question the power, hallelujah, that you alone have. Oh, God, we give you glory today, God. I just feel like somebody out there is going through. I feel like somebody needs some encouragement. I feel like somebody needs to know that we serve a God that is a very present helper in the time of trouble. We serve a God that will never forsake us. We serve a God that will be with us until the end of the world. We serve a God that is always attentive to our prayers. We serve a God that will never fail. We serve a God that is rich in mercy. Hallelujah. We serve a God that will never turn us away. For he said a broken heart and a contrite spirit, he would in no ways turn away. We serve a God that is gracious. We serve a God, hallelujah, that is long-suffering. A God that's willing to forgive us. A God of another chance. A God of another mindset. A God that always come in and diligently reward us for our ministry in him. Oh, God, we bless you today. We bless you today, God. We bless you today, God. We bless you, God, and we give you glory today, God. Oh, we thank you for all that you're doing, all that you have done, and all that we expect you to do. For you are great, God, and you're greatly to be praised. Hey, we worship you today, God. We worship you today, God. Not for the fishes and the loaves, but we worship you because of who you are. Because of who you are, we give you glory. Because of who you are, we give you praise. Because of who you are, we will lift our hearts and say, we worship you because of who you are. Hallelujah. You are God. 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 That we can always look to. That we can always depend on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This ain't no Blue Monday for me, hallelujah. But this is a glorious Monday. This is a Monday where I'm going to open up everything that's in me. And I'm going to empty it out to you. I'm emptying my cup today, God. And I'm asking you to fill it up, Jesus. Fill it up with your love. Fill it up with your joy. Fill it up with your peace. Fill it up with your long suffering. Fill it up with your gentleness, your kindness. Fill it up with your patience, Lord God. Fill it up with meekness today, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to get right on into this word that the Lord is speaking today. We're going to read a little bit. As I was riding on the freeway, I was thinking about how I studied yesterday and how I wanted to go to a area and to a story that I was studying, that I was making myself ready for. Oh, but the Lord said, no. This is not what I want. He said, I'm glad you are prepared. I'm glad you have studied. studied, because the Bible says study to show thyself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. But how many know that God will do a shift in your life? How many know that God will do a shift? He'll do a shift, a sudden shift. Hey, when he want to speak, he'll do a sudden shift. He say, I'm thank you, Angel. I recognize what you did. I recognize that you studied. I recognize that you sought my face. But I'm doing a shift in the day. And that's what he did. He said, I'm going to shift a little bit because I want to encourage my people. I want to let them know that there's nothing too hard for me. I want to let them know that they're going through with a purpose because I have a specific purpose for everything that they're going through. Everything that they think that they can't make it through, I want to know that I want them to know that I'm with them. I'm with them, and I'm going to bring them through it. I'm going to bring them through it. Yeah, they're going to have to cry. Yes, trouble in my way. Now, the songwriter said, trouble in my way. I have to cry sometime. So much trouble, I have to sigh sometime. I lay awake at night, but that's all right. I know that Jesus, he'll fix it after a while. I know that Jesus, he'll fix it after a while. Oh, well, let me tell you, I'm trying to slow down here because I want the Lord to speak today. I want God to get the glory today, and the Lord is going to speak. He's going to speak. He's going to encourage somebody today to let them know that you have to go through. And while you're going through, go through with a purpose. There's a purpose for everything that we're going through. There's a season and a time for everything under the sun. Hallelujah. Nothing will come forward until that season is right. Nobody knows the seasons but God. He can make it winter in summer. And he can reverse that and make it summer when it should be winter. Who can counsel with God? There's no man that can counsel with God. Oh, I bless him today. Let's go as I slow down. Oh, God, I thank you. I had to get that out. Yes. I had to get that out. I couldn't go any further until I got that out. But I have to also do something that I was instructed to do before I got on the line, and I did not get to it, but they gave me instructions. The read Psalm 23rd. Some of us know this by heart. Hallelujah. And they told me to read this before I even got on the line, and I did not do that. And I want to be obedient to what the man of God spoke to me, and therefore I have to read Psalm 23. Before we get into this lesson for today. And it says, we all know it, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. Sometimes before I get into reading this, sometimes we quote this particular psalm and it becomes cliche. It becomes something that, you know, we just quote as a little story. You know, many of us, if we were brought up in church, now mind you, I said brought up, raised up in church, but we weren't adhering to the things of God. But our parents made us go to church. They made us go to Sunday school. And some of these particular stories, David and Goliath, Samson, all of these different little stories, Joseph and Daniel and the lion's den and the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace. We learned all of these stories in Sunday school. And that's particularly what we're talking about with this Psalm 23rd. I learned this particular psalm in Sunday school. Okay? So we quote them sometimes as just like we're quoting a fairy tale, like we're just quoting a poem just to be quoting them. But when you see these particular psalms, they should mean something to you. When you say the Lord is my shepherd. When you say the Lord is my shepherd, you're already acknowledging him, that he's your guide. He's the one that's going to lead you. He's the one that's going to protect you. That's what a shepherd does. A shepherd leading God. A shepherd protector. A shepherd put a hedge about his shape. Hallelujah. And guess what? The shepherd loves and cares for his sheep. So it says the Lord is my shepherd. And I don't know why the Lord is shifting a little bit, but this is God doing. It says the Lord is my shepherd. And if you have a shepherd, then guess what? The sheep shall not want. He said, verse 2 said, he making me to lie down in green pastures. That's where sheep lie down. They lie down in green pasture. He leadeth, the shepherd leadeth them beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk. Nobody told you that you were going to be walking with a whole lot of people. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. When you begin to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you're walking alone. But just know that God Almighty is right there with you. It says, I will fear no evil. This is a psalm of David. He said, for thou art with me. David was assured that the Lord was with him. He said, Lord, thy rod and thy staff, they going to comfort me. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God said to David, is saying, thou have prepared a table, and it's in the presence of my enemies. He said, thou anointest my head with oil. Thy cup runneth over. Surely, goodness. Look at this. Your cup is running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. If you dwell in the house of the Lord, goodness and mercy gonna follow you all the days of your life. And I will dwell, David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Oh, let me slow this train on down today. God, hallelujah, give us strength. Give us strength, Lord. We want to go. We're going to study the word a little bit today. And as I was riding, the Lord did a shift in my spirit. And he said, I want you to go to the book of Esther today. Hey, God, y'all know no more shy, y'all. Because God want to show his people, hallelujah, how he is. See, we don't believe God can deliver us. We don't believe God will come to our aid. We don't believe God will rescue us. We don't believe that he'll be with us while we're in the fiery furnace. We don't believe that he'll step in the lion's den and shut the lion's mouth. He'll make the lion become your friend. We don't believe that. If we believe that, why can't we go through with purpose? Why can't we know that this too shall pass? Well, for those of you that's out in radio land and you all never heard about Queen Esther, you're going to hear about her today. Because the Lord say, I want us to do a shift, Adrian. I'm glad you studied, as I said before. The Lord say, I'm glad you were prepared because you're doing what I require of you. He said, but I'm doing a shift today. There's a paradigm shift taking place today. Because guess what? The Lord wants to encourage you. God wants you to know that there's, a couple of weeks ago we had a topic, is there anything too hard for God? And a couple of weeks before that, we had a topic saying grace to the humble. And a couple of weeks before that, we had favor is better than God. Well, today, God has given us grace, and he's given us favor, and he's going to show you how he did that for this little Jewish girl, for this little Hebrew girl that came into the kingdom. How do you know that God hasn't allowed you to go through what what you're going through for such a time as this. See, your going through is for someone else. Your going through is to encourage somebody, to let them know if he did it for Esther, he'll do it for me. So let's read a little bit. Turn to the book of Esther. Ah, God, I bless you today. Y'all forgive me today. I can't just sit still. The book of Esther is right behind Nehemiah. And it's right before the book of Job. Isn't that something? It's right before Nehemiah, where another a prophet of God that God told us, stand on the wall. Hallelujah. Don't come down. Don't be dissuaded by what folks saying. Don't worry about what how they're talking about you. Don't worry about anything you lose. You stay focused, because you have a purpose, and it's mighty funny. The book of Esther comes, hallelujah, the book of Esther comes right before the book of Job, and we all know the story about Job. Why did they put this, why did they sandwich this book between Nehemiah and Job? That's a lesson for another day. I don't know why, but you know what? God is strategic. God has a strategy in everything he does. That's why the Bible says the mysteries of God, you'll never understand God, because we don't have the mind of God. He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. He said, my thoughts and my ways are higher. They're above what you can think. They're above what you can grasp. They're above any research that you can do. They're above any seminary that you can go to. Our God is a God that's God all by himself. He don't counsel with nobody. But let's read. And I'm going to read a little bit out of the New Living Translation, because we wanna broaden your mind where you can see what God is trying to say to us today. And not just to you all, but he's saying something to me. Hey, because he did a shift today. In a matter of hours, God did a shift. Hey, he did a shift. Glory to God. Let's turn to Esther. And let's read. We're gonna start start at the beginning, where we can get an understanding of how God delivered his people, of how God will exalt you in due time, of how God will take what is ugly, what is nasty, what you deem unacceptable, and God will make that thing glorious. We also had a lesson said there will be glory after this, after you've gone through, after you have suffered, after you have had an encounter with God, then there will be glory. See, we're not going to see no glory until we've had a fresh encounter with God. That's what happened with Queen Esther. She had a fresh God encounter. Oh, let's read a little bit. Verse 1 says, these events happened in the days of King Xerxes, who reigned over 127 provinces, stretching from India to Ethiopia. Look how great this king was. At that time, Xerxes ruled his empire from his royal throne at the fortress of Susa. In the third year of his reign, listen, I want you all to listen, because I'm going to show you something here as we begin to just expound a little bit on this. In the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his nobles and officials. He invited all the military officers of Persia and Media, as well as the princes and nobles of the provinces. The celebration, the Bible said, lasted 180 days. So in our society, that would equate to about 6 months. amen, a tremendous display of opulent wealth of his empire and the pomp and splendor of his majesty. So these people rolled out the carpet. They banqueted. They had a big old feast, and they didn't spare anything. They weren't thinking about no money. You know, those of us that's going through financial difficulties, we want to give ourselves parties and whatever, but we don't have the means to really do it like we envision. See, we have a vision of doing it big, but our money hinder us. Because we're not able to do it like Beyonce. We're not able to do it like Oprah Winfrey. You just can do what you do. Amen? But this king was rich. He had it going on. And verse 5 says, when it was all over, the king, wait a minute, no, I'm at verse, I'm sorry, we're at verse, let's read verse 5 again. When it was all over, the king gave a banquet for all the people, from the greatest to the least, who were in the fortress of Susa. It lasted for 7 days and was held in the courtyard of the palace garden. Look at this. The courtyard, here we go, it was beautifully decorated with white cotton curtains. Oh, look at here. And blue hangings, which were fastened with white linen cords and purple ribbons. You know, purple is the color of royalty. To silver rings embedded in marble pillars. Look at this. Gold and silver couches stood on a mosaic pavement of porphyry, marble, mother pearl, and other costly stones. They did it big. But listen. Drinks were served in gold goblets of many designs, they see. And there was an abundance, an abundance of royal wine, reflecting the king's generosity. Royal wine, oh, God, I bless you. By edict of the king, an edict is a decree issued by a sovereign or state or other authority. It's a proclamation or a command. So the king made a command, put out a proclamation, and no limits were placed on the drinking. He made a decree. Let them drink all they want. Let them just feast and do whatever they want. The king have ordered this. For the king had instructed all his palace officials to serve each man as much as he wanted. So when the king make a decree, in those days, guess what? Could nobody alter that, Sister Ruby? Nobody could change a proclamation or a decree that was declared and proclaimed by the king. Okay? So, at that time, here we're going to get into the meat of it right now. At that time, then we're going to bring on King Esther and show you how Queen Esther came into the kingdom for such a time as this. So we're at verse 9. At the same time, Queen Vashti gave a banquet. So Queen Vashti was King Xerxes' wife. And while he was giving a banquet for the men, Queen Vashti gave a banquet for the women in the royal palace of her husband. And let's drop on now to verse 10. On the seventh day, the feast which King Xerxes was in high spirits because of the wine, he told the seven eunuchs who attended him, to bring, I'm not going to call their names, we're going to skip right on the 11, to bring Queen Vashti to him with the royal crown on her head. Now, if you do a little research, and I've done a little research, not while I'm delivering this message today, but I have preached this message before, and the king really, he was telling Queen Vashti he wanted her to come out naked. He wanted her to parade herself among these friends, all of these men and these nobles wearing nothing but the crown royal. Nothing but the royal crown on her head. See, and when, oh, God. See, when we begin to talk about this, most times you hear this message about Queen Esther. We put Queen Vashti down because we say, oh, she refused to do this, she refused to do that. But let me tell you something. If you're married to a man and you and your husband become one, the Bible says the two become one. So you don't want to parade around naked before your husband's friends. That's an insult. But see, we won't do that. We won't tell that. All we want to dwell on is the woman, the man is the head of the woman, and the woman disrespected the king. Now, please, do some studying. Do some research. Yeah, Queen Vashti stood within her rights. Her body was not for all the other men to look upon. Her body was only for her husband to look upon, because the Bible says our bodies is the temple of the Most High God. Now, he asked this woman to come out. Just wear. Now, the scripture ain't gonna the scripture don't tell you that, sweetheart. But you have to study it. And you have to find out and get into the meat of what he was asking. So he asked them to bring Queen Vashti to him with the royal crown on her head. He wanted the nobles and all the other men to gaze on her beauty, for she was a very beautiful woman. But when they conveyed the king's order to Queen Vashti, she refused to come. Now, why would, just put on your thinking caps. If this is your husband, and you're already living in the royal palace, you're already the queen, everybody respect you, everybody adore you, everybody honor you, because guess what? You are the wife of the king. Now, if your husband make a logical request to you to come out, honey, and sit next to me, we're having a feast. We're having a feast, and I want people to just look at you and see how beautiful you are. But I don't want you to come out here naked, wearing just the royal queen, the royal crown, where these men can look upon you. Something was wrong with the king. Something was terribly wrong with the king. So if it was you, would you have came out and paraded your body among these men? Now remember, this had been going on for 7 days. 7 days they had been drinking. Who want to come parade in front of some men that have been drinking for 7 days? Ah, y'all don't believe me, but you better go in here and study it for yourself. Ah, but let's go on. So he said, bring Queen Vashti. But when they conveyed the king's order to Queen Vashti, she refused to come. And this made the king furious, and he burned with anger. Ah, see, God has a purpose for everything. They burned with anger, hallelujah. They burned with anger because their minds were set on, she have insulted the king. She's insulted the king. So we're going to drop on now to, let's go to verse 15. So after she refused to come out, then they asked, the king asked the question in verse 15. We're still in chapter 1, and I'm going to read this out of the King James Version. It says, what shall we do unto the Queen Vashti according to the law? Okay, in other words, in the New Living Translation, say, what penalty does the law provide for a queen who refuses to obey the king's order, properly sent through his officials, who were the eunuchs? They say, what is the penalty? What do we do to this disobedient, rude queen that refuses to obey the king's order? And one of the, verse 16 says, Memucan answered the king and his nobles, Queen Vashti, listen, See, this was all a plot. But guess what? It was all orchestrated and designed by God. Ah, you better watch what you're going through, because anything bad you go, God is ready to turn that thing around for your good. Amen. So this, God took a bad situation, but it was for a specific purpose. Hey, glory, we're going to get right on into it. So verse 17 says, women everywhere will begin to despise their husbands. Look at this devil. See, he's setting it up. The king already angry. He already upset, and they're just adding fuel to the fire. Uh-huh. What women everywhere will begin to despise their husbands when they learn that Queen Vashti has refused to appear before the king? Before this day is out, the wives of all the king's nobles throughout Persian media will hear what the queen did and will start treating their husbands the same way. Yeah, I saw it. We have a right to treat you like that. If you ask me to come out naked and parade before your friends, the devil is a lie, there will be no end to their contempt and anger. So if it please the king, we suggest, listen, Adam, we suggest that you issue a written decree. But these devils didn't know that God had already ordained for this to happen, because this is how Queen Esther going to come on the scene. This is how God going to exalt this little Jewish virgin girl to become the queen, to save her people. So what you going through? You might be going through something to save your whole family. Esther was going through to save a nation. She wasn't going through just to save herself. She had to save her uncle who raised her. And she had to save her people, the Jewish people. She had to save them. Oh, well, let's go on. And he said, they said, when this decree is published throughout the king's vast empire, husbands everywhere, whatever their rank, will receive proper respect from their wives. So they're telling the king, you need to make a decree. Uh-huh. You need to banish Queen Vashti, and you need to choose another queen more worthy than she. Ah, but what they didn't know, that God had a Jew, God had a little Jewish girl that was going to save his people. Ah, God, from the Medes and the Persians. Ah, glory to God. And verse 21 say, and the king and his nobles thought this made good sense, so he followed their counsel. And he sent letters to all parts of the empire, to each province in his own script and language, proclaiming that every man, listen to this people, every man should be the ruler of his own home and should say whatever he pleases. Now, the Lord didn't that. The Lord didn't give them that kind of authority. Remember when he made man, and then he put man to sleep, and he took a rib out of man's side, and he made Eve. He said it was not good for man to be alone. The Lord told Adam, he made him and what? Help me. And then we want to get indignant when folks don't fail, when people fail to honor your crazy requests. To honor your request, to make me ashamed, to embarrass me before my people. No, that's not of God. That's not of God. It wasn't God's will for her to parade around naked. No, that wasn't God's will. So let's drop on. We're going on the verse of the second chapter. So after Xerxes' anger had subsided, he began thinking about Vashti and what she had done and the decree he had made. By that time, he's feeling bad now. Oh, Lord, what have I done? But I done sent this decree out, and I'm not going to let my peers laugh at me and call me a jellyback, call me a wimp. Oh, no, this decree done went out. So guess what? I have to make good of it. And verse 2 says, so his personal attendants suggested to him, let us search the empire to find a beautiful young virgin for the king, and let the king appoint agents, appoint his officials in each province to bring these beautiful young women into the royal harem at the fortress of Susa. And listen to this. Haggai, the king's eunuch in charge of the harem. This was a woman that had power and authority, and God had placed her in that position for such a time as this. And they say she will see that all are given beauty treatments. After that, the young woman who most pleases the king will be made queen instead of Vashti. This advice was very pleasing to the king. So he put the plan into effect. Now let's read a little bit more. At that time, there was a Jewish man in the fortress of Susa whose name was Mordecai, son of Jair. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. Look how God going on back into the lineage. He's going on back into King David's lineage. We're talking about Benjamin. Benjamin was the babe, was the youngest son of Jacob. And Mordecai and Esther was descendants of the tribe of Benjamin. And they say he was a descendant of Kish and Shimei. His family had been among those who with King Jehoiakim of Judah had been exiled from Jerusalem to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. This man had a very beautiful and lovely young cousin. So Queen Esther, you're going to find out Queen Esther was not Mordecai's daughter by birth. She really was his cousin. She was his uncle's daughter, whose name was also Hadassah, who was also called Esther. When her father and mother died, Mordecai adopted her into his family and raised her as his own daughter. Ah, glory to God. And let's read a little bit more. At verse 8 says, and as a result of the king's decree, Esther, along with many other young women, was brought to the king's harem at the fortress of Susa and placed in Haggai's care. Haggai, listen to, look how God will give you favor. God will give you favor with man, and you already got favor with God. Ah, God gave Esther favor with Haggai. And listen at verse 9, say, Haggai was impressed. Ah, let me get that. Okay, Haggai was impressed. She was impressed, and she was pleased. Ooh, glory to God. Where I'm at? Where I'm at? Right here. All right. I had to turn pages. I'm sorry, you all. Bear with me. Okay, it says Haggai was very impressed with Esther and treated her kindly. I'm reading out the New Living Translation, and I have the King James Version right next to me. So I'm back and forwards, okay? So he quickly ordered a special menu for her and provided her with beauty treatments. He also assigned her 7 maids. Look at what this man did for Queen Esther, specially chosen from the king's palace. And he moved her and her maids into the best. Look at this, people. God will give you the best. He took queen. She wasn't the queen at that time. She just was a little Jewish virgin girl. But she impressed the king official. Ha! How many know when you impress God, you don't have to impress man? If you please God, you don't have to please man. Now, that don't mean you're not supposed to be submissive. But guess what? Your priority lies in your obligation. It lies to God. God is your ruler. God is your savior. God is your deliverer. He's your healer. He's all that you need him to be. Okay? And we're going on. Verse 10 says, Esther, he moved her. Let me make this plain again. Let me read this one again. He also assigned her 7 maids, and specially chosen from the king's palace. And he moved her and her maids. Ah, I got to get through with it. Into the best place in the harem. Esther had not told anyone. listen, people, of her nationality and family background, because Mordecai, her uncle, who adopted her, had directed her not to do so. Every day, Mordecai would take a walk near the courtyard of Haran to find out about Esther and what was happening to her. So he stayed in contact with his beautiful adopted daughter. Before each woman was taken to the king's bed, she was given prescribed 12 months of beauty treatments. And we're going to drop on now. That evening, she was taken to the king's private rooms, and the next morning, she was brought to the second harem. That's you going to another level where the king's wives live. They brought Esther where the king's wives live. But guess what? Let me tell you something about Esther. She remained a virtuous woman. She remained a virgin. The king didn't sleep with Esther. Hallelujah. God gave Esther favor and grace with the king. But they took it. This happened before the king. The king gave her and reached out and delivered the scepter to Esther. This was before he said, Esther, whatever you ask, sweetheart, it's yours. He hadn't touched this girl. She remained a virgin. And that's what we got to do, people of God. We got to remain sanctified. We got to remain virtuous. We got to remain undefiled. I don't care what you're going through. You don't have to become a prostitute. You don't have to prostitute your body. You don't have to prostitute your gift. Oh, God, all you got to do is remain virtuous. Stand firm. Hallelujah. Go through with a purpose. Hey, glory to God. So it says, we're at verse 14. That evening she was taken to the king's private rooms. And she was brought to the second harem where the king's wives lived. There she would be under the care of Shagath, the king's eunuch in charge of the concubines. Esther wasn't no concubine. She was favored of God. She would never go to the king again unless he had especially enjoyed her and requested her by name. Now, when you say enjoyed her, what you mean? Well, he didn't enjoy for sleeping with her, having sex with her. Y'all forgive me, I'm just going to make it raw today. He didn't enjoy her that way. All he enjoyed was to look and gaze and lust upon her beauty. He could not touch her. He did not touch her until the appointed time. So the Bible said, we don't need to go. We know Esther was the daughter. They say Esther was the daughter of Abihail, who was Mordecai's uncle. So we know Esther really was his cousin, but he adopted her as his daughter. When it was Esther's turn to go to the king, we're at verse 15. She accepted the advice of Haggai, the eunuch in charge of the harem. She asked for nothing except what he suggested. And she was admired by everyone who saw her. Esther was taken to King Xerxes at the royal palace in early winter of the seventh year of his reign. And listen to this. Verse 17 says, and the king loved Esther. Esther, hallelujah, she went through with a purpose. The king loved Esther more than any of the other young women. He was so delighted with her that he set the royal crown on her head and declared her before the formal ceremony began, Sister Ruby, he had already crowned Esther queen instead of Vashti. To celebrate the occasion, he gave a great banquet in Esther's honor for all his nobles and officials, declaring a public holiday. He made that a holiday. He said, I want everybody to see this girl. Hey, yeah, she's a... See, but well, one thing about it, he didn't know Esther was a Jew. It hadn't been revealed to him her nationality. It hadn't been revealed that she was an African American woman. God, hey, nobody thought that in this lifetime we will see an African-American president. Oh, but let me tell you something, baby. When God got something destined for you, ain't no doubt in hell can abort God's plan. The only one that can abort God's plan is you yourself. Don't abort your plan today, people. God is trying to encourage you. Let nobody believe, even though we wanted it. We wanted to see a black president. Oh, yes, we did. But in our little hearts, we reminded of that verdict. In our hearts, we knew the verdict was coming back, not guilty. But we held on to a little hope. We was wishing that the verdict came back guilty. Ah, God, but it was not guilty. But even in that, don't you know God knew what the verdict was before it was read in the court? Do you know God already knew President Barack Obama would become the president? He knew he was going to win the other term. We didn't know it. We had to go through the motions, and that's what King Esther did. She went through the motions. Oh, but let's drop down a little bit. Let's drop down a little bit. We had verse 19 then. Even after all the young women had been transferred to the second harem, and Mordecai had become a palace official. See, when you become what God wants you to be, you gonna gain some enemies. Even them folks that said they like you, and you thought they was on your side. Oh, when God began to elevate you, a jealous spirit come on them. And they get mad. They get mad with you because God have exalted you. But guess what? They weren't there when you was laying prostrate before God. They weren't there when you was crying out for your children. They weren't there when you couldn't pay your bills. They weren't there when you got evicted. They weren't there when your car got repossessed. Oh, but now, when God established you again, oh, they got to stand back and marvel. How did she do it? How did she acquire this? Oh, well, I'm going to tell you how. Oh, I laid before God. I found myself at the throne of grace. I found myself saying, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I found myself calling on Jesus in the midnight hour. I found myself weeping, hallelujah, weeping for a night. But I found out that joy was going to come in the morning. Oh, God, I tell you, you can't hang on to God. You can't go through with purpose, and God won't deliver you. Oh, let me get back to the story. Oh, God, I bless you today. Esther continued to keep our background and nationality a sacred. She kept up. That's in verse 20 we at. Esther continued to keep her family background and nationality a secret. And that's what President Barack did. He tried to keep it a secret. But God had already ordained him for such a time as this. God already knew in 2008 a black man was going to be president. He already knew in 2012 he was going to be reelected. Oh, I bless the Lord today. Because God knows all things. There's nothing hidden from it. Okay, so let's go on. Verse 21 says, one day as Mordecai was on duty, see, Mordecai had a place in the king's court. But this old wicked Haman, he was jealous. So one day as Mordecai was on duty, we had 21. At the king's gate, two of the king's eunuchs, Bigthana and Teresh, who were guards at the door of the king's private quarters, they became angry at King Xerxes and plotted to assassinate him. See, God will put you here strategically, place you in a position where, guess what? You will be able to become a spy. You'll be able to hear a conversation that you weren't supposed to hear. Oh, and that's what happened. That's what happened. Mordecai heard the plot. They was trying to assassinate the king. But Mordecai, I'm at verse 22, trying to hurry up. Oh, Lord God. But Mordecai heard about the plot and gave the information to Queen Esther. She then told the king about it and gave Mordecai credit for the report. And when investigation was made and Mordecai's story was found to be true, the two men were impaled on a sharpened pole that killed them. Oh, but let's move on. Hey, glory to God. And we at chapter 3 now, right now. We're walking on through this because we don't have much time. So some of it you got to read for yourself. But I'm just here to tell you today that God has a purpose for you going through. I'm here to tell you today that everything that Queen Esther went through, she didn't go through nothing. See, she was in a place of relaxation. She was in the beautiful palace of the king. Oh, but how many know? Hey, when God exalts you and puts you in a place of authority, he don't want you to forget where you come from. He don't want you to get proud and lifted up, Albertine, but he wants you to remember how he brought you across the Red Sea. He wants you to remember, hallelujah. He wants you to remember, Sister Millie, that this too shall pass. He wants you to remember when you didn't have nothing. Ah, God, when you couldn't pay your rent, when you couldn't meet your mortgage, when you didn't have food to put on your table. He said, I'll remember you when others forget. Oh, let me get back to the story. So we had chapter 3. We're talking about Haman's plot. Haman had a plot against the Jew. And I'm going to shorten this a little bit today. So let's read a little bit. We have chapter 3. Sometime later, King Xerxes, he promoted Haman, son of Hamathena, the Gagite, all the other nobles, and put him in position. And all the king's officials, he said, would bow down before Haman to show him respect whenever he passed by. For the king had commanded it. But Mordecai knew this devil. That's why the Bible said, know them that labor among you. Mordecai knew he was a devil. Mordecai knew that he was planning the demise of his people. Oh, but God had Esther in a place where she could deliver her people. So Mordecai refused to bow down and show him respect. So he got mad. Then the palace officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai, why are you disobeying the king's command? They spoke to him day after day. But still, Mordecai refused to comply with the order. I refuse to bow down to a devil. I refuse to bow down to somebody that don't mean me no good. I refuse to bow down to an idol. For the Lord said, have no other gods before me. Hey, God, I'm not going to worship your calf. I'm not going to worship this evil man. Hey, so they spoke to Haman about this to see if he would tolerate Mordecai's conduct, since Mordecai had told them he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not bow down or show him respect, he was filled with rage. That's how the devil is. When we won't dance on his turf, when we won't submit ourselves to all the things that he's showing us, hallelujah, he get mad with us. And that's what he did. So when Haman saw that he would bow down or respect him, he was angry. He had learned of Mordecai's nationality, so he decided that was enough to lay hands on Mordecai. Oh, but let me tell you, people, when God have a purpose for you, nobody can abort it. But when God has a destiny for you, all you got to do is stay on target. Stay focused. Follow the blueprint. Follow the manual. Follow the roadmap to glory. So the month of April, let's drop down. Then there at verse 8, he said, then Haman approached King Xerxes and said, there's a certain race of people, listen at this, he's plotting now, scattered through all the provinces of your empire, who keep themselves separate from everyone else. Their laws are different. He's talking about the Jews. He's talking about the Hebrews. He said their laws are different from those of any other people. We at chapter 3, we at verse 8. And he said they're separate from everyone else. Their laws are different than any other people. And they refuse to obey the laws of the king. So it is not in the king's interest to let them live. If it please the king, he's telling the king, now issue a decree that they may be destroyed. And I will give 10,000 large sacks of silver to the government administrator to be deposited in the royal treasury. Ah, God is a good God. So that's what he said, verse 9. If it please the king, let it be written, we out the King James Version, that they may be destroyed. And he's going to pay them $10,000. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it to Haman, the son of Hamathah, the Agag, the Jews. And the king said to Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemed good to them. But let's drop down now. Let's read at verse 13. And the letters were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month. And a copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province. And the post went out, being hastened by the king. Oh, but let's go on now to chapter 4 a little bit. And when Mordecai perceived that all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on slack cloth. That's what you got to do, because the Bible says thieves come out by fasting and prayer. When you don't see no results and you know you've been praying about a thing, all you got to do is go down in sackcloth and ashes and you'll hear from God. So it says, and he put on sackcloth and went out into the midst of the city and cried with a loud and bitter cry. And even he came before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And so let's drop down. So Esther's maid and her chamberlains came and told her. Then was the queen, she was already queen, exceedingly grieved. And she went, she sent raiment, she sent clothes to her uncle Mordecai, and to take away his sackcloth for him. But he received it out. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's camels, whom he had appointed to attend on her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. She want to know, why is my uncle sitting at the gate in sackcloth and that? Something is going on. I know this man. He's better than that. He wouldn't have been this unless something is troubling. Oh, God, trouble will bring you to God. Trouble will make you pray. Trouble will make you fast. Trouble will make you forgive. Trouble will make you yes, it will. And verse 7 says, Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasury. And he gave him the copy. And Esther spoke unto Hatak and gave him a commandment unto Mordecai. We had verse 11. All the king's servants and all the people of the king's province do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, into the inner court, who is not called. There is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come into him. So Esther is telling Mordecai, I haven't been called. And they told Mordecai Esther's word. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, because Mordecai trying to talk to her. Now, don't think because you're in the king's palace, you are protected. You are a Jew, girl. And when the decree have gone out to kill all the Jews, I don't care how beautiful you are. I don't care how much you think you got it going on. When God declare a thing, it is to be. When the king declare a thing, it is to be. The only way the king would reverse bless it is if he held out the golden scepter. So let's go on. Ah, God, I tell you. So Esther, hallelujah, Esther, Mordecai sent back to Esther. And go and throw up. No, excuse me. I'm at verse 14. This is where, let's read 13 and 14, because you got to get an understanding. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether hold your peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. What is Mordecai saying? If you hold your peace, Sister Ruby, God going to send somebody else to deliver the Jews. You ain't got to do it, but just know that God got a ram in the, God got a ram in the bush. And if you don't stand up and do what God have called you to do, he'll raise up somebody else. He might raise up my little grandson, a year and a half old, and cause Canaan to stand on the top of the mountain and declare what thus said the Lord. Oh, you don't believe God to do it? Hallelujah. He called Josiah to reign at 8 years old. Don't tell me what God won't do. Hallelujah. So he said, don't you think you going to escape? God will cause a Jew from another place to be the deliverer. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth? This is the key verse to this story. Who knoweth, Esther, whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Who knoweth that what you going through is not for such a time as this, Albertine? Who knoweth, Evangelist Joshua on the line today? Who know why you in the place that you in? Who know why you crying every night? Who know why you gotta take care of your grandchildren? Who know why you gotta make a sacrifice for your sister and brother? Who know when you gotta take money out of your account to pay somebody's light bill, that their children might not be in the dark? Who knows if you haven't been called upon for such a time as this? Time would fail me to keep on going on, but I'm trying to give you the moral of the story. Hey, God, if you don't do it, God will raise somebody else. Many times we say, Lord, use me. Lord, if you can use anybody, use me. Lord, send me. We say this stuff to the Lord. And then when the Lord open up a door of opportunity and somebody invite us to come preach, somebody invite us to come teach, somebody invite us to come give our testimony, we withdraw. We withdraw. Oh, no, I don't think I could do it today. Oh, I have this to do. We come up with these million excuses that we formulate in our mind. That's what we do. Then stop asking the Lord to use you. Stop asking him to open up doors for you. And when he open them, you won't go through them. Oh, God, I don't want to be that one. I want to be that one that's staying before God. I want to be like Queen Esther. When he give me favor with man and God. When the king held out the golden scepter. Oh, God, let's move on. So Esther begins. Esther began, she said, you'll go back and tell my uncle to gather together all the Jews. Oh, let me tell you, when you go down in sackcloth and ashes, God got something waiting for you. Oh, he'll deliver you like he did for the Jews. How many have witnessed God open up some Red Seas for you? How many have witnessed God open up doors that you thought would forever be closed? How many witnessed where God made your enemies your footstool? How many have witnessed that God will give you favor with man? He'll give you grace for the test. He'll give you grace and purpose to go through. Oh, but this is what I'm going to stop right here, because this is so much in this story. Hallelujah. Maybe we'll piggyback a little bit in the week. We have some speakers scheduled for the rest of this week. This was my only day, and I didn't want to go forth. I was troubled in my spirit today. I was troubled in my spirit. But how many know that God will send somebody to encourage you with a word? He didn't just send one somebody. He sent two people to encourage me today, because all I wanted to do is tell Sister Ruby, flow on today. I can't do it today. Oh, God, my heart is heavy. I can't perform today. Oh, God, I said, no, this flesh don't want to do it. But I had studied. I had got myself ready for another message to minister today. Oh, but then the Lord starts shifting. In the 11 o'clock hour here in California, the Lord started doing a shift. He said, I want you to go to Esther today. And I said, Lord, well, I done studied something else. He said, that's all right. How many know that as your day go, so will God strengthen you. As your day go, that's how he strengthens you. When you go on with your day, God will give you strength. And that's what I had to do. I had to gather myself. I had to dry my tears. And I had to say, this too shall pass. I don't know who this word is for today. I don't know if you came into the kingdom for such a time as this. I needed encouragement today. Oh, hallelujah. Mordecai had to send back and remind Esther who she was. God used two witnesses today to remind me who I was, to remind me that I had a job to do. I couldn't renege on God's assignment. This is an assignment set up by God. Who am I to tell the Lord I'm tired today? I'm going through too much today. I can't speak a word to nobody today. I needed a word. Oh, but didn't the Lord give me a word? Through two witnesses. He said, out of the mouth of two or three, every word is established. So let me read this last verse, and I'm going to let y'all go. Oh, verse 16. We at 4 and 16. Esther said, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me. How many want to fast for your brother? How many want to fast for your sister? Oh, don't talk about your neighbor. Don't talk about those that's in the same body. We ain't fasting for nobody. We barely fast for ourselves, and that's why we can't get no help. We can't make it through for ourselves. What makes you think you're going to push back the plate for Sister Ruby or Evangelist Joshua? Oh, I'm so glad to see Evangelist Joshua. That's why I know the Lord loved me. He'll always encourage me. And I'm encouraged just seeing her on this line. She came on this line with us. Hallelujah. 19 months ago, Evangelist Joshua. And do you know we're still here preaching and teaching the gospel? We're not asking for no alms. Oh, we're not on here begging and telling you if you don't have $50 to send me, I can't give you a word. Well, the Bible told me, freely you receive, freely you give. Oh, God, I got to do this thing. I have to do it. This is my life. I'm waiting for the king to hold out the golden scepter. Hallelujah. Go back. Go back. Go back. Go back. So Esther said, fast ye for me and neither eat nor drink 3 days. How many going to eat and not drink? Deny that food. How many going to deny this flesh for 3 days? Not for somebody else, but for yourself. We won't even do it for ourselves. If the Lord speak in our spirit, Albertine, and say, Albertine, I want you to fast for 3 days. You know what you're going to do? You're going to call Sister Cammie or one of your friends. Uh-huh. You're going to say, well, Sister Cammie, and I hope y'all don't mind me using y'all. I know that's not y'all because y'all love the Lord, but I'm just going to use y'all for a little illustration today. The Lord say, Albertine, I'm going to do thus and thus for you. And I've heard your petition. I've heard your request. I've seen your tears. I've seen your dedication. I've seen your sacrifice. I've seen you laboring and witnessing in my vineyard. He said, but these things come out by fasting and praying. Fasting and praying. So I want you to go on a 3-day fast. And you'll say, oh, well, that's kind of hard. Let me call my friend. I'm going to call Cammy. I'm going to see what Cammy say. Well, the Lord ain't spoken to Cammy. He's spoken to you. Now, are you petitioning God on your behalf? Are you Cammy petitioning him on your behalf? Cammy might be praying for you, but Cammy ain't the God that spoke to you. She's not that voice you heard in the midnight hour saying, Elby, fast and pray for 3 days. And I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn some situations around for you. But you go consult with Cammy. And Cammy said, well, you know, we had planned to do thus and thus tomorrow or the next day. And how are you going to do that, Albie, if you're on a 3-day fast? Well, you know what? the enemy don't want you to fast and pray. Uh-huh. And the Bible said we are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, had you not called Cammy, then you would have done what the Lord said do, and you would have told Cammy when she called and said, well, are you still going, Albie? You just said, no, I had another assignment. And you don't even have to reveal to her what your assignment was. Say, I had another assignment. Forgive me, but we'll make it up. We'll make it up later. I'd rather make it up later for Cammy than to tell the Lord I'm not going to do it. I don't need you to bless. When we disobey God, we're telling God we don't need your blessing. We don't need you to open up no doors for us. We don't need you to make ways for us. I got this, Lord. And the Lord said, oh, you got it? Well, I'm going to show you. I'm going to let you go on out there. And guess what? When the flood comes, I'm going to let it overtake you. And when you declare that you're going to call on me and you're going to obey me, then I'm not going to let the waters overtake you. Then I'm going to send you a life raft. Hallelujah. As long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water. That ain't just a story, just something fancy for us to tell and hear. It happened. So Esther said, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. She said, night or day, I don't want you to eat nothing, and I don't want you to drink nothing. And also, my maidens, we will fast likewise. So Esther ain't telling them some of these pastors put you on a 3-day fast and they're somewhere in Beverly Hills sitting down eating a steak. Hell no, and you done told your congregation to fast for 3 days and you going out living the celebrity life. The devil is a lie. Esther said, my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And listen at this, another key verse. And Esther said, and if I perish, if they kill me, Evangelist Joshua, that's all right. I perish. She said, but guess what? I'm going to try God. And read the rest of this stuff because I can't get into it. But anyway, Haman, the same man that was plotting to kill all the Jews, he and his whole family, was hung. But let's drop over to chapter 7. Esther had she had a first feast, then she had a second feast. And then this is what happened. Let's read this. So the king and Haman came to a banquet with Esther the queen. Esther invited them. See, the Lord is strategic. I told you earlier, the Lord have a strategy for everything that he's declared that's going to happen. So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the king, and the king said, we're at chapter 7, and the king, there's only 10 chapters in here, so you all have to finish the rest. I don't have time to do it. And the king said again unto Esther, on the second day at the banquet of wine, he had already petitioned her. Now on the second day, he said, what is thy petition? That's what the Lord is asking you all today. What is your petition? What is your petition? What are you asking, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom. Ah, the king found pleasure in Esther. He said, half of the kingdom, Esther. You can ask anything you like, and I'm going to grant it. Then Esther, the queen, answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, who want to find favor in God's sight? O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given, and me, given me at my petition, and my people at my request. Esther needed the king to have mercy not only on her, because she was beautiful, because she was chosen, she had favor, but she was petitioning him on behalf of her family, her people. For we are sold, listen what she said, for we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue. If you had sold us as bond women and bond men, I would have held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then King Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he and where is he that does presume in his heart to do this to my queen? And Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. People of God, we have to go through. Oh, Lord, I done ate up all the time. We have to go through. But this was not a message that I chose in the day. God chose this message. And you want to encourage somebody. He wants you all to know. Again, that there's nothing too hard for God. Sister Evangelist Doris, hallelujah. Nothing is too hard for him. You have to go through with a purpose. Esther went through. She did not know that she was chosen for such a time as this. God will take a nobody and make him somebody. God will take a little maid. That he used to save Naaman, hallelujah, and deliver him from leprosy. God would take Hebrew boys that wasn't afraid of the king's command and throw them in a fiery furnace. There's nothing too hard for God. This message was for somebody today. This message was to help somebody today, to let you know that you can go through. With purpose, Evangelist Doris, so good to see you. Haven't seen you in a while, but you're still in our prayers. Go through with purpose. Be like Queen Esther. Ask somebody to fast with you. Ask somebody to pray with you. And you don't have to ask nobody to do it. You can do it yourself. Because guess what? Queen Esther sent word to her uncle. She said, I want you to not eat and not drink for 3 days. And she said, I'm going before the king. Esther knew the power she had. Esther knew the authority that God had given her. Esther knew that she had favor with the king. When you got favor with the king, you can ask whatever you will. The king said, what is your petition? We have favor with the king. Our king is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you have favor with the king, weeping may endure for a night, but joy gonna come in the morning. Oh, God, I done took too much time here today. Oh, But the Lord wanted to talk to somebody today. The Lord wanted us to be encouraged. I wasn't up to the test today. How many know when you're going through something, you don't want to be bothered? Hallelujah, you need a word yourself. But the Bible said, let the weak say that I'm strong. I had to say to myself, you are stronger than this today. And God used two of my peers in the gospel to encourage me this morning. I wanted to abandon you all today. I wanted to say, y'all won't hear me today. I didn't feel up to the challenge. My spirit was grieved. My heart was heavy. But the Lord sent somebody, told people, hallelujah, and one confirmed what the first one said. And I said, Lord, Sister Ruby, you're going to have to take over this today. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I'm burdened down today. I'm letting my troubles take over my mind, take over my thoughts. I'm not going, I don't have a purpose for today. I didn't want to go through. Hallelujah. Oh, but if you go through, I'm a witness that God will establish you. I'm a witness that he'll bring you through. I'm a witness that you won't be made ashamed. I'm a witness that the last laugh will be yours. Oh, God, but you got to go through. You got to go through with the purpose. Join us on tomorrow. We got a young evangelist. I knew her when she was about 16 or 17. She's about 34 now. She's a pastor and an evangelist. Mighty woman of God out of Atlanta, Georgia. She'll be with us tomorrow. And on Wednesday, hey, we have Bishop Jesse Grant. He'll be with us. And on Thursday, Minister Michael Lewis. And on Friday, we'll be back. Y'all better watch, God. God did not give us this. Pastor Hamilton gave us this topic, going through with purpose. And he taught for us 2 days, going through with purpose. People of God, it's time to know that if God is on our side, guess what? We can stand bold before the king. We can stand boldly before the throne of grace. He will come to our rescue. He will answer us. He will restore our joy. He will give us peace in our mind. He will give us a mind to press on and see what the end is going to be like. Hallelujah. Well, you're here one day. Come on in into my rest. Thou good and faithful servant. Ah, you've been faithful over few. Now I'm going to make you rule over many. Ah, I didn't cry all night. I haven't suffered and went through for my request to be denied. Hallelujah. Just know that a delayed promise is not a denial. It's just delayed. Because God want to know when he give you what you're asking for, or you're going to remain faithful, or you're going to remain steadfast, or you're going to be able to abound and bless somebody else. God, I'm through, Sister Ruby. I'm through, glory to God. Woo, glory to God. Jesus, I bless you today. Woo, we wouldn't serve God like this.
Praise the Lord. Sister Evangelist Doris, your line is open.
Ooh, glory.
Is this on mute?
Hallelujah.
Evangelist Doris?
She might be on mute.
Okay,
hallelujah.
I'm going to go to.
Glory to God.
Sister Albertine, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, Evangelist Bernard and Sister Ruby. That message was just, it was right on time and powerful again. It just really makes you understand. I think back again, I'm listening to Pastor Hamilton and Evangelist Bernard and the story of Esther. And it really opened my heart and my spirit to just think about things like, because a lot of times, like, we only call on God when we need something, when we, you know, we need, you know, a favor here, a favor there, but not, you know, going through with purpose, it's just really have matured me in my spirit and in my studying, knowing that it isn't just about my car, it isn't just about my house or finances. It's actually going through to be strengthened and to be guiding and to mature in God's word, so that as we go through, we can help someone else, so that we can give a word to someone else. And after we're going through with the purpose of knowing that this is what God brought us out of, and this is how he healed us, and this is where he took us from and put us into, and like she said, delayed but never denied. And we have to understand what our purposes truly are, not a superficial purpose, but a spiritual purpose, a purpose of need and want, and to know who God truly is. He can easily blow on our situation and give us that house, give us that car. But like she said, she wants him, God wants to know, do you really love me? And when I do bless you, are you going to bless my kingdom? Are you going to bless my people? Are you going to be able to stay focused and stay with me? And I thank God for trial and tribulation, because it does teach us maturity and teaches us to go through with purpose. I never had it explained to me that way. And I thank God that, I am going through a lot, but I know he's with me. And I know that things will get better, and I'm glad I'm going through with a purpose. So I thank you, Evangelist Bernard, once again for another powerful day of ministry and teaching and educating us and keeping us fed. So God bless you, and we'll continue to pray for you and your ministry and your family. And Sister Ruby, I'm praying for you and your family as well and all the listeners. So God bless you. Sister Ruby?
Something, then we have to sometimes use one another to bring out the illustration where we can really, really grasp what he's saying. God is trying to help us. He's not interested in our demise. He's interested in us living life to the fullest. He said abundantly. So we got to live in abundance and know that everything that we're going through, it's only a test. It was a test, and every test that we're experiencing, if we don't go through and pass it, who wants to retake a test? You know, when you go through when you're in school and what have you, and you have to take these tests, and man, you pass, and then something happened where they find out somebody done cheated, and the teacher say, well, we're going to have to give the test again. Oh, Lord, something just pierced. You say, I barely passed. Now I got to take this again? So that's what we do with the Lord. You know, we got to pay these tests. I think every test is made for us to be strengthened. We're not going to be weakened if we go through it, but we got to have a purpose as we go through. God bless you, Sister Albertine. Love you.
God bless you too, Evangelist Bernard. Thank you.
You're welcome. Love you all.
Sister Dawn? Sister Dawn?
Yeah.
Oh,
there she is. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. I'm taking Miss Meta out the car to put Lilla go get her nails done. Can you?
Oh, okay.
I'll come back. I'm at work.
Sister Cammie, praise the Lord. The line
praise
is open.
Praise the Lord. Sister Ruby, how you doing?
Bless yourself.
Hey, praise the Lord, Evangelist Bernard.
God bless you. Love you all.
God bless you.
Have a beautiful weekend.
Yes, ma'am. I didn't hear you.
I say I pray everyone had a beautiful weekend.
We did. How was your weekend?
It was lovely. I can't complain.
Yeah, I just want to thank you again. It's really been amazing last 2 weeks just listening to this, going through purpose, because like I said before, that's exactly what I feel like I'm going through, and that's why every single day when I come on, and it seems like today is like was so heavy on you and almost like a release. And it's like you was like releasing it to us, and you can feel it. You can feel your passion. You can receive. You can feel your power. And it's like, you know, your job has been done. And I just, it reminded me of going back to church when I was so young, and when you saw the minister preaching, and it's like as he kept preaching, everything, he was just kept releasing. His body was getting limp and more limp and more limp until he was going up and down the pulpit, and you just knew God was just doing this work in him, and it was releasing out to everyone. He was being obedient, and that makes us, you know, take notice and say, wow, you know, because I know how that is when you have something on you and you have to release it. And sometimes when you don't want to, like you said, when you don't want to fast, you want to just, when God say fast and you don't fast, and then you do go and you call and you say, oh my God, what should I do? And like you say, when God give you a word, you must do it. You know, as far as moving, we second guess ourselves. Sister Albertina and I talking about just, and you know, our situation as far as our living, and saying that, you know, sometimes we hold on to things that we think we want, and don't understand why God don't want to give it to us, or why we can't stay here, and not realizing, like she said, that there's something greater on the other side for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just let go, but we put too much emphasis on stuff, and we don't realize there's purpose in everything we do. If God take it from you, he has something else better for you. It's not because he wants to hurt you. It's not because he don't think you deserve it.
So y'all gotta preach.
Got to
preach. See, this should have been y'all week preach. You and Albie, y'all going to have to preach. I'm telling you, you all minister to me. You really don't know how much.
Oh, you minister to us.
Oh, really encourage me. I might be the one that go forward the word.
Yeah.
But God always have you all to encourage also.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I bless you.
Right now, God, we're going through similar battles, Albertina and I. We encourage each other in a sense of trying to just remind each other that it's bigger things on the other side. There is a purpose there, and we know that purpose. And I think God both had to, because we both have been super successful in what we've done. But I think God had to remind us who come first. You know what I'm saying? Because, like I said before, we sometimes forget that. And Albertina said it earlier. We only say, oh, my God, now it's time to get on the knees and pray. And then you start wondering, well, they don't pray. Why they not having any issues and problems? But they don't have a purpose right now. There's something God wants to do in you. And God has to bring you back. He said, I have to strip you all these things just so I can bring you back and humble you
to
get what I need to get out of you. And I'm grateful for that. You know, I'm grateful for it. Because we all know, like she said, this is just small stuff. God can give us greater. There's more than that. You know what I'm saying? And I am just open to that, and I'm open. And it took a while for you to realize, because part of being in this country, in this world, when you of the world and you're more carnal minded and you're less spiritual minded, things are things that make people feel well, or it represents success, and it's not about that. It's not so about that. So I'm grateful and I'm thankful for your word. And again, like I said, you are what God want you to be, and that's so important. And I'm going to be more like that. You know, you are Christ. There's no question about your Christianity. There's no question. You know, me and our team both have been down the road with, and you know, you don't want to be judgmental, because you know about ministries and stuff like that. But you go and you wonder. We never had a question about your ministry. We never had a doubt about it. We knew you wasn't here for the wrong reason. You know, it was all because you know that God had called you to do what you do. So we just grateful for that. Because of what you do, you make us better. So thank you.
Glory to God.
It's a peaceful ministry. It's a beautiful ambiance of peace and love.
Yes.
It's
yes.
the essence of ministry.
Yes.
And it's so anointed that when you go away, you feel fed. You feel now I can conquer the world. I feel better. I have something. You don't feel beat up or feel like maybe somebody jumped on you today.
Right.
But you actually felt like you were fed and
yes.
that someone cares for you and loves you. You know, and that's
it's a
the
blessing.
Whole,
It's almost as medicine without, you know, the side effects. It's amazing. It's amazing to be fed
healing.
And feel that way. Yes.
I've grown more in the last couple of months that I have been with Evangelist Bernard and ministry and just grown spiritually and learning than I have in a long, long time. I mean, just from the last couple of months, it has been just such a power.
It encourages you to want to do better. It encourages you to want to be right. Yeah, it encourages.
Absolutely.
And that's important. And like I say, rather it's 1,005, if you don't reach people or get that message out to people, then what's the purpose? It doesn't matter how many people you have in your congregation. It don't matter.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're not. delivering or you're not being able to reach the people like you should. And that's so important. And, again, like I say, I'm grateful for that because every single time I'm on here, I feel like you're speaking to me in some way, and I know God is speaking through you to me to remind us, you know, you're going through it, but there's a purpose behind why you're going through it. This is a reason why. And, you know, you pray and you ask the Lord every single day because when you're going through struggles and all that stuff, you have the tendency to try to say why and, you know, measure yourself up against someone, and then you have to humble yourself and say, no, that's not it. Why is God wanting you, trying to get your attention? Because that's exactly what it's about. There's a reason why he's allowing us to go through this. He has something for us, or he wants us to do something, and we just have to humble ourselves and pray and ask. So thank you for that. I think you have done an amazing job. I think Pastor Hamilton and everybody else that has come on here that has talked, that has made me, like say Sister Albertine, better people, because we're going down a similar path right now, and it's a reason behind that. So I'm grateful to that. I'm grateful for it every day.
Amen. For you all, I tell you, I was just a little discouraged today because of a situation that I was. Before I do that, I just want to give a shout out to one of our listeners in the chat room, Healing Relationships. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the word on today. God bless you. We're so happy that you tuned in the chat room. So God bless you. We see you. Healing Relationships. That's mighty right there. But I'm going to tell you, I thank God for you all. I was, you know, I just had to email, you know, and I don't want to get into that on the airwaves, but I was just kind of saying, you know, I know it's been slow. Some of the callers that usually call in, they're not on the line. And, you know, when you don't see but one or two people, that can become a little disheartening. But that wasn't the reason why. I was going through a situation yesterday, and it just flowed on over until today. And I was like, I can't do this today. I just didn't want to get on this line at all. I did not want to preach. I didn't have nobody. I have somebody scheduled for the rest of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So today was like, I had to go forward. And I was like, I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to do it. But the Lord allowed me to study yesterday, but what I was studying for, he shifted that. As I was en route to Sister Ruby house, he shifted and he said, no, this is what I want you to talk about today. And I've seen some callers, some of our listeners on the line today that I hadn't seen on the line in a long time, and I don't know who the message was for, but even in the midst of it, I'm claiming it as mine because I needed some strength. I needed to know that what I was going through is with purpose. It was a purpose for me going through what I'm going through, and I don't know why, and I had to have a little talk with the Lord myself, and I said, Lord, what is this? You know, and sometimes you feel like you're so heavy, and you're like, how can I impact and be effective and speak a word to somebody else when I'm weak, when I need a word myself? But, you know, the Bible said, even I'm reminded of the lepers, they were healed as they went. They were healed at, and sometimes we just have to go in spite of what we're feeling, in spite of what we're going through, in spite of the tests and the trials. We got to know that God is going to bring us through it. But when you're in that fire, when you're thrown in that fire, you know, you can't see God. The Hebrew boys didn't see God. They just believed that he was going to be in there with them, and they still didn't see him. But when it was thrown into the fiery furnace, the king declared, I see a fourth man. And it looked like the Son of God. But the Hebrew boys, they had enough faith to believe that when it was thrown in that fire, that God was going to be there to deliver them. And sometimes we don't see. We don't even feel it. We can't even think it. Oh, God, I tell you, this was, I haven't had a difficult day like this in a long time. This was a hard day. because this was a day that I was dreading. This was a day that I didn't want to embrace. Excuse me one second. Excuse me, that was another call. But thank you all. I thank you all for the encouragement. I thank you all for the sacrifice that you make to come on and listen to the Word of God. And just know that God knows everything that you're going through, Sister Cammie, Sister Albertine, and some of those that I've seen on the line, they've dropped off. God knows everything, and He's going to reward us. It's only a test. It's only a test, and we got to go through, but we got to know that we're going through with a specific purpose, because God has a destiny for each and every one of us. And the Bible says when we see Him, we shall be like Him. Hey, so I just thank God for you all. Thank God for Sister Ruby. I'm going to let her have some remarks, and we're going to move on.
Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. It's just, what can you say? The Lord has spoken. The word has been rich. It's in my soul. It came up off the pages of the Holy Bible.
Mm.
Evangelist Bernard, the Lord used her more today than, you know, when you get discouraged and you say, oh, I'm throwing it all out. That's when the Lord wanted to use you the more. And I just bless the Lord for her. Okay, God bless everybody.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I know we have somebody that we can encourage also. We're not the only ones going through. We have family and friends and loved ones and co-workers and our neighbors. We have many people that's going through something. Encourage them. And I tell you, we have some powerful speakers lined up for the rest of this week. We're still talking about going through with purpose.
You got
going through with purpose.
Oh, you just said
you did it. Oh, you didn't do it? God bless you all. So tune in for the rest of the week and hear what does say the Lord. We're still talking about going through with purpose. So just be encouraged. I tell you, if you miss this young woman tomorrow, she's going to be on early. You're going to miss a treat. Hallelujah. She half of what my age is. So she got a lot of fire and a lot of strength. So we thank God for you all. Sister Albertine, Sister Cam is still on the line. Is it any special song that you all would like to hear? We want to close out with something that you all may want to hear today.
I love that song you play, Take Me to the Throne. I think that's what it is.
Take Me to the King. I like that one, too.
Oh, my God, I love that song. I love that. If that's okay, if everybody else, that's fine with me.
Yeah.
Amen. That's a powerful song. And Kirk Franklin wrote that song for Tamla Mann. Take to the King. And I tell you, she won one of the Stella Awards. Because he wrote the song, baby, but she can sing it.
She has an
anointing with that song. So God bless you all. Keep me in your prayers. I need as much prayer. I'm going through just like you all. So just know we all in here together.
But the Lord
Amen.
Say it again, Sister Ruby.
The Lord is on our side. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Sister Ruby.
Take me to the King. Hallelujah. Y'all forgive me.
Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are truth is I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. One touch will change my life. Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart's torn in pieces. It's my offering. Lay me at the throne. Leave me there alone to gaze upon your glory and sing to you this song. Please take me to the King. Truth is, it's time to stop playing these games.
Preeminent vocalist in the gospel music industry. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Please, ladies and gentlemen, give God praise for the incomparable Vanessa Bell Armstrong.
We come this far by faith. Pick up your pace and don't you be late. I'm here to tell you about the good news. There's something about the path that we choose, y'all. Wisdom has built this house now. In
problems and some situation, maybe some baggage. But I'm here to tell you the good news, huh? If you know how to pray, God gonna turn that thing around now, huh? If you learn how to pray, listen, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what the devil said. All you gotta do is get down on your knees and say, pray.
God bless you. We'll see you all on tomorrow. Have a beautiful day in Jesus' name. God bless you, Sister Albertine. You're the only one still with us.